Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing and peace. And we hold the heads of government worldwide that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Releasing any thought of the future or the past, presencing your consciousness to the present moment right now. Envision a silver-white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc, lighting up your back all the way up to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Know that I speak these words for me and for you and the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me and through me and as me now. This morning I become aware that we are living at the threshold of a universal recognition that the human body is not mere matter, but an energetic field of consciousness. This field of consciousness is an infinite domain of infinite possibilities. Right here and now, I take this spiritual truth into my awareness. I am willing to have duality disappear in the brilliance of oneness. I know that whatever may seem to keep me from the awareness of oneness in God, whether it be an idea, a situation, or even a relationship, it ultimately will give way to a higher realization. It will either be in my life in a new, more dynamically creative way, or it will be released through my willingness and my realization of the wisdom I intrinsically am. I'm thankful for these conscious realizations this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I am thankful for life itself, and so it is, and it is so. Topic this morning is the evolution of consciousness, the evolution of consciousness. And my first point is our main barrier or obstruction to our evolution of consciousness is lack of knowledge about the nature of consciousness. So what does the word evolve mean? Evolve means to develop or to unfold, especially being a natural process. And consciousness, it's as life as one and the same basic reality. Dr. Hawkins says, metaphysically, consciousness is an aspect of isness, and beingness and is implicit to our definition of ourselves as humans. But humanness is only one expression of beingness. Got it? And in his wonderful book, The Power versus Force, he says, it's the infinite domain of infinite possibilities within which there is an enormously powerful attractor field. Okay, so that's at least a little bit of an understanding of what consciousness is. Number two, I want to talk a little bit about his map of consciousness and you know where we are with that. And number three, reaching the state of pure awareness. Many times from the front of the room, I make this analogy of, not so much an analogy, but pointing out that what science and theology are really saying are the same things, only they're saying it in different languaging. If you asked a scientist about what is life, a scientist would probably say all there is energy. It was never created, can never be destroyed, and its attribute is change. Because it's energy, it's powerful, it is intelligent, and it's absolutely everywhere. If you asked a theologian about life, they would probably say something like this and maybe different kinds of terminology or languaging. All there is the infinite presence and power, or God, or the universal life force, or the unknown power, or whatever they language it. And this infinite, I won't even say beingness, some people call it God, has never been created, can never be destroyed, and it's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. If you look at those three words, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, it's saying the same thing as energy, that it is powerful, that it is everywhere. You know? So it's like that. So if we were going to think about that as, you could possibly depict it like this. Now, because we're talking about something that's infinite, I can't draw it, of course. So I'm going to depict it like this, unknown power X, okay? And it's kind of like everywhere. This is depicting that it's everywhere. So it's primordial energy, and emanating out of that primordial energy is tangential energy. And first of all, there's the electronic phase of creation. And then comes the mineral phase of creation. And then comes the vegetable phase. And then comes the animal. And then comes the human being. Like that. So, in the electronic phase of creation, it's the law of attraction, and there's positive and negative energy. And then as it evolves and progresses, as the evolution of consciousness, we could call this energy consciousness, if you will, too, it became more organized, and it started to operate as, we look at it as, and we language it as, the mineral phase of creation. Then it evolved to another degree into the vegetable phase, and then the animal, and then the human being. Now, with the mineral phase of creation, what it had, the attribute that it had there, was organization. The energy became organized into form. And what happened in the vegetable phase of creation, I'm doing this very quickly. When I first learned about this, it was 23 hours of instruction. But I just want to kind of get to the bottom line, to the human being very quickly here. In the vegetable phase of creation, what happened is that there was adaptation. Think about a sunflower. You know what it does? It kind of turns toward the light. Or if you put a potato in something in a dark place in your cupboard and a little bit of light is showing through, a potato will grow an eye up to the light. That's a form of adaptation. And then when we come to the animal phase of creation, you have movement. Animals, you know, can, like plants can't pick up their roots and outrun a flood. An animal can outrun a flood. You know, all you have to know is what happened with that tsunami a couple of years ago, and all the wild animals ran for the hills before it hit. So what is emanating through all this but we particularly call it something in the animal phase, is instinct. Right? Now, as we move through this evolution of consciousness, cosmic design, I like to call it cosmic design, it loses nothing and always gains an attribute. So it's not like it has an attribute and has lost what has come before it. So the law of attraction's forever there, the law of imagery, etc. The organization is there, the adaptation is there, and of course the locomotion or the movement and also the instinct. Now what happens with human beings? What is it, as the evolution of consciousness evolved, what is the attribute that human beings have? We would call it reason, choice, and this instinct. We don't really call it instinct. What do we call it? Intuition. But it's the same thing operating through our form. You know, some people call it hunches. Nothing is replaced. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We surmised it was not recording equipment. It might be my mic. Oh, dear. Do you know how to do that? Thank you. Thank you.
So rather than listening to this, I'm going to take this off. I'll just turn it off. And I'm going to use this.
For the sake of the tape, we're having some sound difficulty, so I'm just switching my mic. So therefore, also, when we look at this, and many times I've said this at the center, it's life is eternal, and that birth and death are part of life. Birth and death. Life is not the opposite to death, so we're looking at we're realizing that nothing can be created or destroyed as far as life itself goes, but it does change form. So in that changing form, it's like, well, we call it transformation. Transformation. Now, when we look at the human being, we had, a long time ago, we had Neanderthal man, and then we had Java man, and then we had Homo erectus, and then we had 600,000 years ago Homo sapiens, and then what appeared in Ethiopia was a form of modern man. But when we think about the map of consciousness and the evolution of consciousness and where it would be on that map from 0 to 1,000, is that Neanderthal man, Dr. Hawkins says, is around 75, and then Homo sapiens around 80. So it's way below the level of 200, which is the level which I could also call the level of integrity. Now, I just want to go back to this just for a moment, because I was reading a little bit about the animal phase of creation, and each level of organic life sacrifices its life to the higher next level. So prey does not even notice the transition from physicality to its etheric continuum.
Then
came into a family that had her. Not necessarily our family, because we got her when she was 5 years old. But I like to think her level of consciousness went up then, too. And I think her level of consciousness goes up when she's here also. Okay, so the map of consciousness is not represented like arithmetic. The numbers are logarithmic. So I'll tell you a little bit about what that means. 300 is not twice 150. It's 300 to the 10th power. So even one point is a very significant raise in consciousness. So levels below 200 are detrimental to life. individuals and societies and those above 200 are constructive to life. The evolution of consciousness of humankind overall has been seemingly slow. It didn't even reach 90 until the birth of the Buddha in 563 BC. Then the rate of evolution of consciousness accelerated, and at the time of the birth of Jesus the Christ, the level of the totality of humankind on planet Earth had reached 100. 100. So I got to thinking about the level of consciousness that they were addressing in the Bible. And, you know, like, why is some of the things absolutely not applicable to us now, especially from the Old Testament? Now, it took approximately 2,000 years for the overall consciousness level of mankind to move from 100 to the level of 205, which it was in the late 1980s. And then again, it moved just two more points up to 207 in November of 2003, at the same time of the Harmonic Concordance. Now, each level represents an impersonal field of energy and represents the progression of the evolution of consciousness and is concordant with challenges and tasks appropriate to that level. So each level represents progress. Got it? Okay. So consciousness will continue to evolve as it has been all for eons of time. Therefore, we can actually say that our future realistically can be viewed very optimistically. But even though we're looking at some major problems in the world, can we hold it that this is part of a stage of an evolution of consciousness that is happening on the planet right now? You know? I got an email from the Prophets Conference, and they were inviting people to go to some conference about the year 2012, and I'm just going to read just a little bit about what it said in there. We're living within the time that all great prophets and indigenous prophecies have pointed to, the 15-year window that began in 1998 and completes the Mayan calendar in 2012. It is believed that a momentous and wonderful evolution is occurring within the human race and thus on planet Earth. We will discover that the ability to create positive change in ourselves and in the world around us is innate in all of us, and these shifts of consciousness usher in new ways of understanding and opening new possibilities for living. Prophecies from original people all over the planet tell us that now is the time for humanity to embrace its higher potential and to live harmoniously with the earth, one another, and all of life. So sometimes people don't have a very positive thing thought about the year 2012, but I would say we as New Thoughters should really hold it as something absolutely very, very positive. So again, thinking about that scale and the map of consciousness, it merely denotes a position or a location. It denotes associated characteristics, and it is not better than. It's really easy to get into a judgmental frame of mind and saying one is better than the other. It's a position of perspective, and the joy of life comes from fulfilling our potentiality at whatever given level we're at. Okay? The critical evolution of consciousness at 200 is a major change of quality of consciousness of solely self-servingness to a more benign level of caring for others and the emergence of family bonding. It denotes truth and integrity and courage. And here's the thing, 78% of our human population calibrates below 200. I didn't say of where we're living, of the whole planet Earth calibrates below 200. So is it any wonder that we have some of the things that are going on planet Earth right now and this human suffering that's happening? Okay. So how can we reach the place of pure awareness and a high, high state of consciousness? It's been said that average-wise, a human being only elevates their level of consciousness on the map of consciousness about 5 points. Now, I would say that would be somebody that's just, you know, going along, living their life and trying to, you know, do the best they can. However, I would say that when you place yourself into environments conducive to learning about levels of consciousness, when you place yourself into powerful workshops, when you even read some very powerful books, especially books written by people who are at a level of consciousness that is probably higher than yours, you will probably elevate your level of consciousness far more than 5 points in this lifetime. Far more. However, many people would rather die than change their belief system. And that's what confines them to lower levels of consciousness. So it's kind of like this, and I'm quoting from one of his books now. Calibrations are measuring the prevalence of illusion. What's the illusion? The measure of one's degree of awareness of the self as the real I. And when we're talking about self, that's capital S-E-L-F, the spiritual self that we are, who we are as soul. Many times I say from the front of the room, none of us have a soul. We are a soul. And there's a big difference in just that statement. So that it would be like rising above the illusion that we have a soul. Because if we have a soul, then you're thinking of yourself as a body only, and we're far more than a body. There's nothing that the mind believes that isn't erroneous at a higher level of awareness. So each level indicates a transcendence of what preceded it and is an indication of what tasks lie ahead. So just for the next few minutes, let's just think about what would be some of the most important elements of us moving our level of consciousness on an upward swing. Sometimes people think that this is a really difficult thing, but it's actually quite simple, and it takes a great amount of discipline, and it takes willingness. It takes willingness to accept responsibility for our life. It takes willingness to accept responsibility of our thoughts, our feelings, and our beliefs. It takes willingness to accept what a lot of your songs had to say this morning, Jennifer, to accept love, to emanate the love that we are. Not just the emotion of love, but the love that we intrinsically are, the love at the core that we are, and to enter into non-judgmental forgiveness. Non-judgmental forgiveness. And Dr. Hawkins says it this way, as a lifestyle. As a lifestyle. Not just one or two times, or maybe selectively, you know, selecting who we're going to forgive. But as a lifestyle. An unconditional kindness to all people and things and events. Without exception. Boy, I'm telling you, you know, I've been thinking about this as I've been reading his fourth or fifth book, and I've really been watching myself whenever I kind of slip off the, I'll say it, off the path, you know. And it is pretty frequent. It's pretty frequent. And I catch myself and I say, wow, that wasn't a loving thought. I'm into resentment here. Or I'm ticked off. How many of you were ticked off this last week? I won't have a show of hands. Yeah. Are we willing to forgive whatever is happening there? You know, we did a mass mailing of 2,800 flyers to the surrounding area. And did I ever have an opportunity to keep forgiving the Canada Post and Post Office? Because, you know, I talked to them about how to do this. You know, it was 11 point some cents if it's like a flyer and you do it according to the postal codes. So you don't, like, put 52-cent stamps on it. And someone had generously given us enough money to do 2,800 of them for the surrounding area. And I got what I thought was the information, and we got it ready, and she told me if I got it there at 11 o'clock, it would go out the next day. So I thought, oh, that's great. We don't have to rush. And you know how long it takes to print 2,800 on our copier and fold them and things like that. And so then I got it down there, and oh, she says, you've got the wrong, what was it called now? Not the postal code, rural route numbers. Our rural route numbers changed. I said, she says, what were you going by? I said, well, I was going by a map a year old. She said, oh, no, you should check the internet. I said, well, what if I don't have internet? You know, I did talk to somebody here. And she said, well, you didn't talk to me. I said, is your name Erica? She says, yes. I said, I talked to you three times asking you questions. So why I'm saying this, it's like every day we have an opportunity to look at how we are. And how we are when we're up against it and things don't seem to be going exactly the way we thought they were going to go. So anyway, you know, she said this and that. And then she said, well, she says, for Dean Park, you should have taped them. And here I am with 2,800, no volunteers lined up, the deadline's coming up. So I rearranged some other kind of rural routes, and we decided to only do two walking routes, because the walking routes in Dean Park need to be taped. So I brought home back 600, and Faith and I taped them, and I took them in. So I thought, oh, this is great, they're going to get out tomorrow. Somebody else receives them. They say, well, 98% it'll go out by Friday. And I go, pardon? And again, I got to see myself. Like, I wanted to get really ticked off. I was going to say something else. So, you know, I said, well, some things on this flyer are for Saturday. This was for the relationship workshop that we had a week and a half ago. Well, 98% it'll go out Friday. So I just had to leave it. I just, you know, like, leave it. And then I got to see how long that stayed with me and whether or not it was going to ruin my day or ruin my week. So, you know, like, you look in your life. I use that as an example. But there was something else that happened, and I won't go into the ins and outs of it, but I'm really catching myself when I'm finding myself going off, going off someplace else, not being kind, thinking, not wanting to forgive, getting into the shoulds. Shoulds is a great place for you to see where you are in consciousness. They should have done this. Or they could have done this. And it was all something other than what I wanted. So, you know, getting back to this, it's to move upward in the scale of consciousness is willingness to stop blaming, to accept responsibility. Now, responsibility is respondability, the ability to respond rather than react. There we go. And have non-judgmental forgiveness as a lifestyle. So, you know, I'm driving away and I'm realizing I'm not being very forgiving to this Erica girl at the post office. So, you know, you just, it's interesting just to, you know, continually look. Another area is that there's no justification for resentment. So I like what Course in Miracles says, we're never upset for the reason we think. So what is it, like, underneath? What am I really upset about? What's underneath that? And what's underneath that? And what's underneath that? Are we willing to be forgiving and gentle without exception? Without exception. That's the... Now, I'm sure many of us are willing to be gentle, and I'm sure many of us are willing to be forgiving. The key is are we willing to move into this as a lifestyle? Are we willing to do this without exception? Without exception. You know, and the mind can just absolutely drive us crazy sometimes. So one of the ways that our mind can become increasingly silent is to surrender everything, like to surrender, give up, you know, surrender our thoughts, surrender our feelings, surrender our deeds, and I'll say to God, but it's not to God like someplace up in a distant place called heaven, but surrender it to within. To that, surrender it to love at the core within. You know, the power of love within. So I want to complete by asking you a question. What if the purpose of human experience is to evolve? And if it is, then our world is absolutely perfect right now. Because everything and everybody is in the process of evolving, of the process of elevating their consciousness to the next level, and whatever it is that they're doing, whether we think it's something they should be doing or not, or right or wrong, good or bad, they are operating at the height of their level of consciousness. And who are we to judge? And I'll tell you, when we're involved with our mind, we will judge. Then the thing is, what will we do with that judgment? What will be our action after that judgment? So my first question for myself would be, am I willing to forgive myself first? For having that thought. Because, you know, it's not going to happen out there unless we forgive ourselves. Are we willing to be kind to ourselves and say, okay, so I just, you know, this is what's so, and this is what's going on with me, and this is what I'm thinking, so I'm just going to quiet myself for a moment right now, and I'm going to really be who I really am. As a being of light and love, and love at the core. And I'm not saying that that's easy to do all the time. The process is simple, but sometimes it can be difficult for some people. So the world is all right, and you're doing great wherever you are, at whatever level of consciousness you are. And you're placing yourself into environments that are conducive to you elevating your level of consciousness. Now, this isn't only for you. This is for our whole planet. When you elevate your level of consciousness even one point, I always have trouble saying that word, logarithmically, even one point makes a difference. So here's the thing. Compare yourself to your old you. Don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to the way you used to be. Compare yourself to the way maybe you used to react. Compare yourself to the way you used to say things or say something about people or a person. And you will see for yourself that you have grown. You're not the same person that you were, that you're comparing yourself to. And sometimes you don't even have to go back many years. You can just go back a year or a couple of months and say, you know, I'm different now. I'm responding at a different level. And I'm willing to have this be... I'm willing to have this accelerate and escalate through my being very consciously aware of what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, and my deeds. and also to make a declaration to ourselves. I'm willing to have this be a conscious lifestyle for myself. So we're all fine. We're all doing great. And the world is unfolding as it should, even though sometimes you read the newspaper and you go, that's a good way to see yourself too, is when you're watching the news or reading the newspaper, and whether you're frowning or you're going, what? Like that. And I acknowledge you for placing yourself into an environment that's conducive to you learning more about yourself, more about the evolution of consciousness, more about the map of consciousness. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Thank you. Namaste.